Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. And I'd like to highlight verses 3 and 4 for you, where John the Baptizer sends men to ask Jesus this: are you the coming one, or are we to await another? And answering, Jesus said to them, "Go, and all of you report to John what all of you are hearing and seeing." This is our text. Now, I want to start off with an honest question, so please give me your honest answer. I don't want smart aleck responses here. Okay? All right. Raise your hand if you genuinely like to wait. Not one hand is up. And so I'm not counting yours, Mark, because I said no smart aleck responses. I think it's safe to say that patience is not a gift that most of us possess in abundance, right? And yet, waiting is simply a part of this earthly life. But there are different forms of waiting, aren't there? There's the kind of limited but agonizing wait that you do at the doctor's office. I mean, it is called a waiting room, after all. Or the DMV, or the driver's license office. Though it may be less than an hour, what's it feel like? Eternity. And then there's waiting that comes with the end of the semester, or a marital engagement, a pregnancy, or maybe the beginning of retirement. The time is scheduled, and it will certainly come. But it's still so far away with so much to do in between. Or there is the sort of waiting that we do when we expect something but can't control it. Like waiting for a special package to arrive, a phone call, or an email. And one more. It's a very different kind of waiting. When you wait for an idea to come that will solve a problem, or an inspiration that will create a work of art, or insight or help that will end a crisis. That kind of waiting is frustrating, nerve-wracking, because there's no guarantee that a solution will actually come. So yes, there are many kinds of waiting. Some are easier than others, but waiting itself is not inherently bad, though it can cause very real difficulties for us. Sometimes it can even lead to big problems, like wondering what exactly it is that you're even waiting for. Fortunately, the most important thing you and I as Christians are waiting for, and we do know what it is, has actually already come, hasn't it? Jesus has already come to bring us into the rule and reign of God. And so we don't have to wonder while we wait for his promised return. But still, let's be honest. It's easy for me to stand up here and say all of this, but actually waiting without second guessing or wondering about all sorts of what ifs is a whole different issue, isn't it? Well, it appears that this was the problem facing John the Baptizer in today's gospel reading. John was the one whom God sent in fulfillment of the prophet Malachi's words in the second to last verse in the Old Testament, where God said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of Yahweh comes." Jesus even confirms in verse 14 of our text today that John, quote, is Elijah who is to come. John was the one who saw Jesus approaching him out in the wilderness by the Jordan River and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then when he baptized Jesus, he saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove and remain on Jesus. He heard that voice of God declare, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So if anyone should have been fully convinced that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one sent to save God's people from their sin and guilt, you'd think it would be John the Baptizer, right? And yet, things haven't churned out as quickly or as precisely as John must have expected them. He came to Judea and he proclaimed the need for souls to repent in preparation of the promised Messiah, just like he was called to do. He played no favorites, even calling King Herod to repent for marrying his brother's wife. And now, look at where that put him. In Herod's dungeon, waiting and wondering what his fate would now be. Would he be put to death? Or would he just waste away in prison? Or would Jesus actually do something to get him free? Verse 3 seems to indicate that waiting in prison was now leading John to second guess whether Jesus really was the promised Messiah after all. John taught and proclaimed that when the Messiah came, he would bring God's judgment against the forces of evil, unbelieving men. That the reign and rule of God had arrived with this Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 2 even tells us that John, quote, heard in prison of the deeds of the Christ, unquote. But the longer John has had to wait in that cell, the more his circumstances seem to be leading him to question whether Jesus really is who he thought he was. What John has heard doesn't seem to match up with the end time message that John had preached, nor what he himself is now experiencing behind bars. He had to be wondering, is Jesus really the fulfillment of God's plan? Is he what my whole life has been all about to this point? Or is there someone else that I and my followers should actually be waiting for instead? You and I have it easy. We get to look back and see what happened. John didn't know everything that we know at this point, but friends, you and I think, still can certainly relate to John's questions, as they only seem to grow and grow the longer that he had to wait. Can't we? I mean, we may not be in prison, but our circumstances can also lead us to second guess Jesus' place in our lives today. I've tried to be faithful in my Christian discipleship. I've attended worship and the Bible study. I've returned a tithe of my income for the working of God's mission in His church. I've tried to love and serve those around me in the name of Jesus, but still, I can't seem to get ahead in my career or my finances or my relationships with others. I've prayed and I've waited, and I've waited some more, and I've still waited even more, but Jesus doesn't seem to come through and make my struggles any better. In fact, they only seem to be compounding one on top of another. Does any of that sound familiar? Or maybe, if not, what about this one? I grew up Christian. I've witnessed to my friends at school and at work and around the neighborhood about Jesus and his good news and his love. I told them in love, I told them in love that they need to turn away from all of the world's distractions and traps and trust in Jesus instead. And yes, I even emphasized, as any good Lutheran Christian should, that the gospel always works out over the law. That Jesus came and died, and that he rose back to life in victory over all sin, so that they can have forgiveness and eternal life. But not one person I have witnessed to has ever taken me up on my invitation for them to come to church with me, or even mentioned that they are interested in Jesus. And on top of that, now I've been diagnosed with this rare and deadly disease. After all of this, the longer I wait for Jesus to bring me healing, or at least to bring one of my friends to faith, the more it seems like nothing changes. Each one of us has our own real life examples like that, don't we? And it certainly can make us question, is the kingdom of God, is the reign and rule of Jesus really here? I mean, even we Christians, look at John the Baptizer, even we Christians can be tempted to wonder, is Jesus the real deal? Sadly, these kinds of things can even lead believers to explore other options, not just other religions, but even other philosophies of life. The so-called certainty of science, the fellowship of human oneness, the spirituality of the earth, or the benefits of believing that there is no God at all. So what are we to do when we or someone we know has questions or concerns or struggles like these? Well, I think we can learn a lot from John and the answer that he received back from Jesus. Number one, where did John the Baptizer turn when he was struggling with questions about Jesus? Notice, he didn't send his followers out to explore other options, or even to try and find answers from worldly experts or resources that might have been similar to what we have today, like the internet or TV evangelists. No, he went directly to Jesus, to the very one that God the Father told him was his beloved Son. And what can we learn from Jesus' answer once John's concern came to him? Two different yet important things. First and foremost, Jesus' direct answer has always been and still remains the most dependable, even and especially when it means that we still might have more waiting in front of us. Is Jesus the real deal? Are you the coming one, or are we to await another? Verse 3. Jesus' own words in all of Scripture can't be any clearer. The answer is yes. John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And look, that's only one of Jesus' seven I am statements recorded in the Bible. He also said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In fact, that last one leads to Jesus' second, less direct, but still crucially important answer in verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Go, and all of you report to John what all of you are hearing and seeing. The blind are gaining sight, and the lame are walking. Lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being raised up, and the poor are having good news preached to them." In the original Greek, all of those are present tense verbs. That means that Jesus' followers are actually seeing and hearing Jesus do these miraculous things firsthand in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in our Old Testament reading. Jesus is doing the exact work that God's word said the Messiah would be doing 700 years earlier. Now talk about a long wait. But actually, in reality, that 700-year wait is still nothing compared to the 4,000-year wait that God's people endured from Yahweh's first promise to Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior. 4,000 years from that first promise until Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. And yet, God's promise always comes true. According to his timing, according to his perfect way. So the bottom line for John to take from Jesus' answer is this. Yes, John, I am the one coming, and I am, present tense, doing all of the work necessary to bring the Father's plan for salvation to its final fulfillment. So John, and all of the rest of you who are my beloved believers, that would include all the way up to today. Don't lose the faith. Don't give up living as I have taught you to live in my word. For I am still coming. The victory is mine. And it is yours through faith in me. That, my friends, is still Jesus' answer to your struggles and your trouble and doubts today. So see and hear the saving and life-changing work that Jesus is doing among us right now. Look, he gives us, we didn't go there in the children's sermon, but we could have. He gives us our identity and our destiny in baptism. He speaks his forgiveness to us in the absolution and in the preaching that we hear from the pastor whom he has sent to us. I'm just the JBL, right, Natalie? Someday I'll share that with the rest of you. He comes to heal and strengthen us. You know what? Today's a good day to do it. Should I go off and explain this to them? All right. You're not going to get mad because it takes an extra 2 minutes, are you? The pastor is simply nothing, except God's JBL speaker, Jesus's Bluetooth linguist. The confirmation class and I came up with that together. I'm just the instrument. God's the speaker, right? Now I got to come back and figure out where I was at. Oh, he comes to us to heal and strengthen us in the Lord's Supper. And he proclaims the gospel of restoration and eternal life into our ears through it all. Yes, Jesus, just as it was with John, so it is with us right now. Jesus still does all of the work. We don't make it happen. We simply rejoice in what he gives and what he does. So, folks, you name the challenge, the doubt, or the question that is weighing you down right now while you wait. Jesus is always the answer. Just go to Him in His Word and then see and hear how He is working for you in and through His means of grace. And when you do, you will see that Jesus has already come, that His rule and reign is indeed already here. God's promise has been fulfilled. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is, present tense, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And look, we have His cross and the empty tomb as all of the evidence that we need for now. Is there still more to come? Indeed, there is, and it will be extraordinary. But while we wait, there is no need to second-guess Jesus or His promises. I mean, we already have 6,000 years of evidence from creation up to today showing that He can and does fulfill every last promise that He makes. Think of it as if you were tailgating at a football game. Even maybe the people that aren't football fans here today. It may not look like it, but just think of this. What is tailgating? It is waiting. You are waiting for the kickoff. Now, that kind of waiting, though, is not negative or uncomfortable or unpleasant, is it? No, because you know the kickoff is coming. That's why you're there. You can't make it happen. You can't make it come sooner than its appointed time. And so what do? You wait until that time arrives. But while you wait, you make the most of the time, not wasting it by just sitting around by yourself. No. You engage with others about your passion, that shared passion that you all have for what is to come. You enrich the time with food and fellowship and memories of both past struggles and great victories. Well, as Christians, we wait for Jesus' return like that. We know He's coming, and His rule and reign is already here at work among us. And so we have reason, a great reason, to gather together in His name, to celebrate with confidence and make the most of the time that we have before His appointed return. We know that what is coming is the main event, the reason that we are here. But while we wait, we gather together with the family of Christ and we delight in the reality of God's work in and through us for the sake of His creation, even now. Yes, friends, while we wait, we do not lose heart. But our anticipation and our excitement, it grows. And it grows because we know Jesus is coming. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.